First at 8:07, if nothing else, the situation for war fighters in Afghanistan is, to say the least, complicated and, of course, dangerous. To update us on NATO operations, progress and experience in working with the local government, the military, the police there, the director of Joint Operations Center in Kabul, Marine Colonel William Maxwell. Colonel Maxwell, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you today.
Now, first, let's talk about a breakdown on the troops there in terms of U.S. and allies. What's the ratio?
Well, we currently have approximately 120,000 ISAF forces that are in theater here, growing every day. 46 troop contributing nations that are involved with this. And when you want to talk about a breakdown, we're looking at around 70,000, if not a little bit more now, of the U.S. and coalition is approximately around 50,000. Again, it's growing as the months progress here during the summer. For that 30,000 troop increase that was approved earlier in this year, we're only 78% there. So we got a little ways to go, but by the end of August, we should be at full strength.
Now, you have two types of operations, you know, the kinetic and the removing of the IEDs and the explosives, and there's also the more diplomatically oriented types of activities. Give us a sense of what proportion of time of the troops and of your time is spent on those two types of basic work there.
Yeah, the two complement each other very well. You know, the combat operations enable the space and time needed for the governments and development to improve. You know, our young heroes out there, our military men and women in uniform, you know, they're extremely well trained. And as time progresses over, they're learning how to work with their Afghan partners and to help them increase their governance, increase their security forces, to get out there and assist them basically pursuing the enemy and clearing the space basically from the insurgents that are out there. So when you're saying how much do we do, it's absolutely essential that we work closely together with our NGOs and our civilian counterparts that are over here. Almost every operation that we do, every operation is tied in, and they like to say nested together. So an operation isn't just not security alone, it's development and it's governance. Because the whole thing about counterinsurgency is basically to clear, hold, and then develop. And I think we're actually showing progress in that. We're starting to be very successful in that. The young men and women that we have out in the field are doing an incredible job.
One of the big parts of this is winning the hearts and minds and to work with the Afghan people. Can you talk to us a bit about that relationship, the military, police, civilian, government officials, and how our U.S. troops and how you and your people are able to work with them?
Yeah, in the operations center that I work in, I'm the director of it, we have from the AMP, the Afghan National Police, the Afghan National Military, I also have some of their local governance that is in there. I'm tied in really tight with them. So whenever there is a need from their side or from our side, we communicate that easily. Now out in the field, 85% of the Afghan national forces are partnered with ISAF forces. So we're tied. We're actually one team, one fight over here. We have the absolute same goal also. And you know, that's to clear Afghanistan from extremist ideology, to give the Afghan citizens, you know, a future, a bright future. And we're starting to see a trend in that direction. We're starting to see Afghans leading the fight, the actual doing the planning. And part of what I'm seeing in the last 4 or 5 months is that you're talking the Ministry of Interior, the Ministry of Defense, they're actually of Afghanistan. They're communicating. They're coming up with a plan, an Afghan plan for an Afghan problem. I watched that their Afghan National Air Force, that they're going to pick up their forces and taking them over to an area in Afghanistan where there's a problem and supported by us a lot of times, but sometimes on their own. And that's what I'm starting to see is progress.
Now, the reports here, Colonel, have said that things are getting hotter and a little bit more dangerous. There was a pretty rough weekend, I think. Several troops were lost and several other people from Afghanistan were killed over the weekend. Is that a result of the fact that you're getting deeper into the country and things are getting maybe a little tighter for the opposition? And if so, how do you keep the morale up as the casualties rise?
Well, I'll answer the first one on that one. And yes, we're going into areas that we haven't been in years, where the insurgents, the extremists, they had freedom of movement. They had sanctuary just because we did not have enough forces over here, and the Afghan National Army didn't have enough forces to go after them. Well, as our troops flow into country, obviously we can push out there and clear and hold and then build and develop. And we knew it was going to be a tough fight this summer, absolutely. Down in Central Helmand, down in Margent, we knew that it was going to be a tough fight. And that's where the money hub is. That's where the drugs are. And we have basically pushed them out of Margent Central, and they're on the outside trying to get back in. It's a tough fight. We know it's a tough fight. We're fighting a resourceful enemy. But now they're starting to become erratic, and we're starting to see that more and more often. A lot of suicide attacks, a lot of fanatical throwing themselves against the wire, and you know that's an enemy that appears from us to be losing the momentum. And if you're wondering if earlier in the year, I know there was a lot of news reports that the momentum was on the Taliban side, and that might have been so, may have not. You know, that's up for historians to take a look at. But we're seeing a shift in the opposite direction. We're seeing the Afghan army standing up on their own right here, and we see the Taliban basically having trouble confronting us.
You mentioned the issue.
You mentioned about morale, and I would like to talk about the morale over here. And I see nothing but positive. I've had the opportunity sometimes here to get out and see the young men and women of the armed forces all around this country, and I've never seen the morale so high. You know, there's tough locations, you bet. We all miss our families at home, you bet. But some indicators that there are out there, recruitment is at a high. Service retention is at a high. You know, those are good indicators that the morale is doing well. We have more young men and women that are trying to get over to Afghanistan because they know that this is just cause. They know that this is the country that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, basically Al-Qaeda forces that planned the attacks on for us against us at 9/11. Absolutely a just fight, and our young people, men and women in our armed services, know that. So I see absolutely morale high. And then when we have the support of our family and friends back home, and unbelievable support. We get letters, we get boxes every day, and I go down, and as I said, saw the men and women out in the field with these letters from home. That nothing but promotes their morale. So please pass that on.
Oh, we're passing it on even as we speak. Now, earlier you had mentioned the issue of drugs. And I know that when the war first started, we did a lot of interviews with not just military analysts, but boots on the ground. And we heard a lot about the drug trade in Afghanistan. It's a huge deal, and that needed to be eradicated, or we needed to somehow get a handle on that for the U.S. mission to work. Can you give us an update on where that stands now and what you've seen?
Well, yeah, I sure can. Down in Margin, that was their heartland. That was where their poppy fields were, where the heroin, the opium is. Our initial tactic was going down there and leveling the fields. Well, that wasn't working for us because that was a source of income for those farmers. What we were doing is turning a basic farmer into our enemy because we're taking money away from them. So our strategy now is to go after the middlemen and the senior leadership of the drug trade, and we are cleaning the field with those guys. As I said, they were on the run. I see the numbers. We don't report numbers of enemy killed. You know, that's the slippery slope from decades past. But we are going after them. The amount of drugs that we have confiscated and we destroy, it's an amazing amount of tonnage.
Our guest today is Marine Colonel William Maxwell. He's director of the Combined Joint Operations Center in Kabul, Afghanistan. And give us a sense of what the day-to-day life is like for the troops there. You know, it's not like you're stationed in Germany and they can go out on the town. What's the weather like? What kind of living conditions in terms of tents versus hard-sided enclosures? What's it like there for the troops?
Every part of Afghanistan obviously different. Up in the east, you got the mountainous terrain. Up in the north, you got kind of some of the flatlands and the mountains. Down in the south, you got the flatlands and the desert. It's extremely hot. So every area of Afghanistan obviously is different. But one thing for sure, there's some extreme weather here, from cold to hot. So that's a challenge on our forces, but they're doing really well. One thing about American know-how, and our coalition partners are very good at this also, is we do provide for our service men and women out there. the forward operating bases and the combat operating bases. You know, incredible food, actually wonderful food. I'm back in Kabul, and I don't have half as good as food as young men and women out there in the field. So we do try to take care of them as much as possible. They have a tough mission, absolutely tough mission, and they know they do. It's an important mission. They got to get outside those bases, and they got to interact with the Afghan population. They got to convince the Afghan population that we're on their side. And that is something that, you know, I want to highlight here is over the year, and I'll just go from 1 June. From 1 June, the insurgents have killed 164 civilians, 164. In that same time frame, the ISAF forces partnered with the ANSF, which is the Afghan National Security Forces. You know, sadly, we killed 20 by accident. But those are on operations where we're pursuing the enemy. I tell you, the enemy is out there. They don't care about their population or the Afghan citizens. They target them indiscriminately. They're trying to break their confidence, but I think it's going to turn back on them. And that's, again, where the momentum we're starting to see here. Well, and I'll use Mars as an example, is we're starting to see local nationals actually come into coalition forces and the Marines and actually turning in IEDs, saying, this is where you can go and find one. And they're helping us out of insurgent locations. They're starting to point out the enemy because they're starting to realize that the Taliban offered nothing for their future except extremist ideology and death and no progress in the future. So those are those little indicators that we're starting to see right now that, hey, progress is inevitable here. And that's what I'm seeing down there.
You mentioned IEDs, and we were getting word this morning that there's one top general in that region who says that he believes that the use of IEDs is going to start to fall off dramatically, especially as you said, more people are going to start turning them in or at least pointing them out to you. You're going to get more NRAPs. Even more blimps are going to be coming your way to help keep watch over the roads. Do you agree with that assessment that as 2010 starts to wind down, the use of IEDs is going to be less appealing to the insurgents?
Well, you know, that's always a weapon that is choice, actually, for them. It's a weapon of choice because it is one of those easy ones for them to do, and then they get away. They can't strike us conventionally. You know, that was definitely proven. They don't mass against us ever again because we have the ISR overhead, the aircraft that will target them if they're ever en masse. But the IEDs is something that it's a challenge for us. I don't know if it's going to be going down. I haven't seen it been climbing. I actually looked at statistics over the last year, and I haven't seen any climb in IEDs. But we're starting to see a lot more being found. We have that technology out there. As you just mentioned, and I mentioned earlier, the local nationals, the Afghan people, are tired of indiscriminate IED attacks on them. Remember, if you step on a landmine, it doesn't know who you are. It doesn't know if you're a coalition force or you're an Afghan citizen. And we're starting to see civilians all the time that are casualties out there, huge numbers of them, and they're tired of that also. So as we said, the momentum is starting to shift on our side, and that's a good indicator when you start having Afghans turning in Taliban or the extremists out there and showing us where those IEDs are. I'm very hopeful that, as you said, their IEDs will go down in the future, especially with the technology that we're bringing over here. The MRAPs have been wonderful at protecting our troops. They can take a wallop. American ingenuity is incredible. And then we look after our injured, and we can get them back in the fight if that needs be. I think the American people are supporting us extremely well over here with the best equipment that we can have.
And Colonel Maxwell, there's been a change of leadership, of course, now that General Petraeus is running things in Afghanistan. And you've got a Marine Corps general above him now at CENTCOM. So has the General Petraeus stopped by? Have you spoken with him? What's the feeling there on the new leadership?
Well, two different command centers over here, but yes, I have spoken to him. He's spoken to all the staff out here. It's good. New leadership is always good. In the military, we always have it 1 to 2 years. It's transparent to the young guy in the foxhole out there. Sometimes the staff, a little disruption in there, but that's pretty normal on that because the bosses just want different things. But the guy in the field, the one who's looking at the end of his rifle out there, I don't think he's going to see much of a difference. He's just worried about what's the threat that is in front of him. And I tell you, McChrystal was the same way, and Petraeus has emphasized that we're going to make sure that anything that that young guy in that field needs, we're there for them. We're reviewing our ROE, our rules of engagement. We're going to take a look at that, seeing if what we can fine-tune. The one important aspect that I mentioned there was those civilian casualties. They have dramatically decreased. And maybe there's a fine balance in there that we can adjust if we, you know, provide even more support. But part of my job there is to make sure that we have the right weapon systems, the right systems that are supporting those guys out in the field. And I'm very confident that we're doing that right now.
Well, Colonel, we thank you very much for that update, and, of course, we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you very much. Family there in D.C., so I'm always happy to talk with the D.C. radio station. I'd like to say hi to Mike Ackey, Kai Sharon out there. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the next months to come.
And I'm sure they feel the same way. Thanks very much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
And that's Marine Colonel William Maxwell. He's director of the Combined Joint Operations Center in Kabul, Afghanistan. And we were glad he could join us from such a great distance, and not a bad connection either.
Not a bad connection. And it's always nice to give them an opportunity to at least give a shout out to their
Absolutely.
Family so that they know that they're okay.